The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're a day away from the fight, and we've got all kinds of cool stuff to get to. So let's jump right in. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. John Lee, the master, back in studio. If you want to get in today, well, we usually don't take calls when we're on the road, so dialing the number's not going to help. But we probably, you know, if you want to know it, it's 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, although we don't really look at that anymore either. But find the Blitz, click like, and do or don't post on there. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday, live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And
hi, Fred.
What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports. Yeah. Sports and things of that matter.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit of sports.
Okay.
A little bit of stuff.
A lot of stuff. You missed quite the scene when I was coming in here. There's an old security guard out there in the front. And
yeah, the guy who's making sure you got a pass.
Right. And there were three guys trying to walk in that didn't have a pass.
Did he rough them up?
He didn't rough them up, but
he could have.
He was screaming at them.
Oh, boy.
You can't get in here without a credential.
And the guys are like, well, how do we get in there? How do we get in there?
You can't get in here without a credential. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
And he's like screaming at these guys, and they're like, whoa, what the hell, old man?
I like that. I like drama.
Oh, I do too, especially, well, you weren't here at the time. We were in Dallas, and people just came pouring into the media area. So I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact that there's a mean old man out there doing his business. So how's your day going?
Not too bad. I took a nap.
Yeah?
Like a grown-up.
It's a good move.
I realized that I can drink beer till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But when I go, and oftentimes I find myself at bars, particularly with you, where the beer options are, like, I'm too
limited.
Much of a beer snob
right.
to
the beer
drink
options
the beer there.
Especially late here when they start closing down the good beer bars.
If Stella is the craft you have on tap, I'm probably drinking spirits. And I drank spirits last night probably more than I should have.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go. The downfall came when we got those buy one, get one free things.
Oh, yeah, that was probably not good.
And we were doing, well, I was doing double shots of Wild Turkey, apparently.
Which,
even though initially I don't remember asking to make it a double. Do you remember that at
no,
all?
No, I don't.
No, but that's what they were pouring every time.
Hmm.
And And then when you start to double those up, because you get one free, you do that a handful of times, and you wake up not feeling on top of your game. I'm not going to lie. And then, on top of that, we had agreed last night to play in the 9 a.m. poker tournament.
Yeah.
So, smartly, last night, I set my alarm. Did not like it when it went off this morning. I was not happy about that. But you know, I'm a team player, so
yeah.
I got it together, and I got myself out the door. And then you're not there.
Yeah, I wound up having some work-related stuff
to
deal
with. You're a businessman.
Yeah, sorry.
But The good news is you said that I was going to win a poker tournament.
Yes.
And I did.
I knew you would.
I did.
You were playing way too well not to. In fact, we both have wins this trip.
Yes.
You should have had two wins.
I should have had two wins, but I got greedy.
You got greedy and you let a euro get in your head.
I did. I got
euros.
Trolled by a British guy, by Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean,
who was just awful, but he was such a luck box. Oh, my God. And it was so funny because I think I got in four times with him with considerably better hands every single time except for the last one. And every
How about
time
a diamond? Oh, I hate you, Mr. Bean. But then I won the tournament. I went back to the room. I took a nap.
Good move.
That was helpful. And I prepped the show, and now I'm ready to rock.
That's awesome.
I want to rock.
That is awesome. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. I actually didn't last much longer than you, and got some sleep and then got prep done and got to the gym, and I was going to come play the tournament, and then I got a phone call I had to deal with. And I'm fired up, man. Been a good day so far.
Rock and roll.
Ready to have a great show, and we have a few guests lined up. I think we're going to get Jim Lampley here fairly soon. I haven't talked to Jim since well, he wasn't here for the last fight, so it's been a while since we've talked to Jim. And Rudy Gay, who has been wandering around.
I thought I saw him. I was like, what's he doing here?
Yeah, I talked to him a little earlier.
Is he signed with Jay-Z or what?
Yeah, he's part of Rock Nation.
Okay.
So I have a little interview with him that we'll run at some point in the show.
Oh, you already talked to him?
Yeah, I already talked to him.
Good for you.
So I got here early for some reason because...
Because you didn't take a nap.
No, I didn't.
I did. That's why I got here late.
Well.
Later than you.
That's okay.
Okay.
A nap's probably a good thing.
I think by hour three, you'll be glad I took a nap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you think I'll be fading and you'll just be kicking in?
I don't know that. I mean, you're a trooper. You can probably hold up. But I know if I hadn't taken a nap, I would definitely be fading.
Well, I'm glad that you're 100% and rocking and rolling, ready to go. 713-780-3776 to text the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. You know all the ways to get in touch. Hope everybody is lined up for a great weekend. And I have to say, if you're a casual fight fan, buy this fight.
I'm with you.
I don't always tell you that. Like I've been flat out honest about Mayweather-McGregor.
But yeah.
If you just want to see what should be a great fight with two guys who are going to try to knock each other out, this is your fight.
And when we came out here for the last fight, the Chavez-Canelo fight, we told you, this is going to be a lopsided fight. So unless you're a big Canelo fan, probably don't waste your money.
Yeah.
But this is not the case. I think this is going to be an incredibly competitive fight, and I think you'll get your money's worth out of this thing. The undercard is even solid. So.
Yeah. I saw an interesting prop, though. Fight does not go 11 rounds, plus 350. I think that's pretty good value. I think it's. I wouldn't shock me if either one of these guys knocks out the other one, because I think they're going to try. And Ward specifically said he's training to try to knock him out. You know Kovalev's going to try to knock out Ward.
That's all he ever does.
Yeah, so I'm getting 3.5 to 1 on that. I don't think that's a bad prop.
Yeah.
I saw that I was over at the Luxor last night beating up on Canterbury Park, of all places. It's weird, the tracks that I fall in love with. It's just Canterbury's got a lot of horses that were at Sam Houston Thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
And a lot of horses from Remington, a lot of horses from Oak Lawn. Those are all tracks that I follow pretty closely. So I've just been banging the hell out of that for the last few weeks.
Good for you.
Had a good night there last night, too. But, my poker win was I knocked out a guy who you did not like. He was kind of a jerk.
Yep.
He did not like the call I made on him. I have to admit, it was a sick call. But as I went through everything in my head, I thought it was the right call, and I wound up being correct and knocking him out. So always fun when you knock out a jerk. Of course, he's like, how do you make that call? And then I kind of went into my two-minute explanation of why I was thinking about everything that made me make the call, and that just pissed him off more. So I hope I run into him again.
That would be nice.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. And I don't know if you saw this, but did you see what Conor McGregor's sparring partner said about that fight?
No.
He basically says what you've been saying. McGregor has no shot.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah. But Chris Van Heerden, who's a former IBO welterweight champion. IBO has got to be like 27th on the list.
Yeah,
right?
It's like fifth tier.
But said he sparred with McGregor in May of 2016. Now, that was a year ago. Said he was out of shape when he worked out with McGregor and was still able to dominate him.
Well, because he's a professional boxer.
Right. He's a former champion. Now it's sparring. That doesn't mean a ton, but I do think you can learn from that.
This is the thing, and this is why it doesn't really matter, because Conor McGregor doesn't care if he wins or loses this fight.
He's just going to get paid.
He's going to get paid, and that's all it's about.
I don't blame any of these guys. It's just like anything in life. If people will pay you for something, take your money for it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
There's no way for Conor to lose. Even if he gets beat up, he's still got a massive payday that no UFC fighter would have ever gotten.
And you know what? He'll still go back to UFC and still be a huge draw.
Maybe.
I think he will be. I don't think the...
You put $100 million in a man's pocket, well, he doesn't feel the need to fight anymore.
Maybe. That part of it, yeah. But if he does, he's still going to be a big draw.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I don't think it's going to tarnish his image as an MMA fighter. I guess that was my point. Not so much that... But yeah, he makes $100 million. I don't know if he'll want to fight.
Would you want to fight if you had $100 million in the bank?
No, I wouldn't want my face kicked
no
in or
thanks.
My arm broken or
no,
something like that.
I'm good.
Although he is a guy who likes the spotlight.
He is, but I don't know, man. There is sometimes you get a payday like that and you realize that everyone wants to be rich and famous. What's even cooler than that is just being rich.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would be happy to just take rich.
Yeah.
But
100%.
But one thing you could say about
rich is way cooler than rich and famous.
But the dude does have a lot of energy, but not as much.
I see what you did there. He doesn't have the same amount of energy as Tri-Eagle Energy. They've got so much energy that they're willing to basically sell it to you on the cheap, and that's what they do. They are giving you a very competitive rate, and they are making their best effort to turn your home into a more energy-efficient, a smarter home. They've got now a Smart Energy 36 plan that comes with the all-new Ecobee 4 that's got built-in Amazon Alexa voice service. So it listens to you, it talks back, and not only that, but it can save you money as well. Ecobee customers in the U.S. saved an average of 23% on their heating and cooling costs based on an analysis done. So there's benefits to having this thing. It's not just that it's a cool toy, which it really is. But it also it can save you money. Current center point rates, 8.6 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. It's a really competitive rate. You're locking it in for 36 months, and this rate is only good until the end of the month. And if you're in the Houston area, good news. You're saying, what good is this Ecobee going to do? Because I'm a dummy. I don't know how to install it. Good news. If you live in the Houston area, Tri-Eagle Energy will send a certified tech out to your house. He'll install that thermostat for absolutely free. Guys, there's too many reasons to check out Tri-Eagle Energy. They can save you money. That's all you really need to know. TriEagleEnergy.com or over the phone, 877-93-EAGLE. It's PUCT-10064.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Mandalay Bay. Our old buddy Michael Pearson in the house. Good to see him, man.
My man.
Yeah. But he's off being a boss in LA now.
That's how he rolls.
That's just what he does. Breaking news. via Adrian Wojnarowski. Sources, Philadelphia, Boston would acquire the Sixers' number three overall pick. Sorry, Philadelphia is waiting on medical information on Markelle Fultz, but deep into talks into acquiring Boston's number one overall pick. Boston would get the Sixers' number three overall pick in 2017 and pack in a package that includes a future first from the Sixers.
Well, that's more savvy GM work by Boston, in my opinion. Because, like I said, I think that I mean, I would take Fultz number one overall, but I really think, you know, two through seven, there's really talented players, and the drop-off isn't that massive. So if you can trade down, get a future first, especially from a perennial bad team,
right?
That's a good deal.
Yeah, because I as many high picks as they've stocked, it's not like the Sixers are getting any better.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of protection the Sixers would have on that pick, but I mean, if it's unprotected, that might as well be gold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how Boston got in this spot, doing the same thing with the Nets.
They're doing a very similar thing to what the Patriots do.
Yeah.
We'll keep trading down and stockpiling and get the guys that we want when they're there for us, and it's worked for them. It seems to be working for the Celtics.
Yeah, I like it for them. I don't really know about Philadelphia.
Yeah,
but. Oh, well. Did you see what Michael Floyd blamed his positive alcohol test on?
Not alcohol?
Not alcohol.
Okay.
But Michael Floyd, if you missed it, tested positive for alcohol, which he can't do because of his probation. Well, he said the positive result arose from drinking kombucha tea. It says kombucha tea is fermented and indeed contains alcohol. And under the terms of his house arrest for extreme DUI, can't drink alcohol. So he really should not have been drinking kombucha tea, which I've never heard of.
Kombucha is like, it's actually like a living thing. It's like it's supposedly good for like your digestive system and things like that.
According to his lawyers, Ian Rappaport reported that Floyd had completed 91 of 96 days of home arrest. He is forbidden from alcohol. All tests were under the 0.8 legal limit. I would just say, shouldn't you know that?
Yeah.
If in reality, if you're not supposed to have any alcohol and this stuff has it in it, stay away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure I buy it, but to me, that's kind of like the Mexican meat defense that Dwayne
Brown
used.
That's kind of what I would think.
But the difference is that was the NFL. This is the authorities.
Okay.
Man, I'm not sure I like how they've changed Twitter on my laptop.
Yeah, on my laptop, on my phone. Sometimes the updates aren't necessary, but it's the way it always works. I get used to it, and then I don't like changes, then eventually I get used to it, and it all works out.
512 asks, where are you guys eating in Vegas? Hitting the buffets? Really not eating. I've had one meal since I've been here.
I've had one meal as well.
Yeah.
Now, it was a large meal, mine was. I had a burger with avocado and fried egg and bacon and onions on. I mean, it was massive. But that's all I've eaten.
Yeah. I had a not quite as massive burger. Mine was pretty... In fact, it had nothing on it except cheese.
Yeah, and then you passed on fries. Instead, you ordered carrots and celery.
Carrots, celery, yes.
Which is gross.
It is, but I'm working on it.
You're a trooper, though, so good for you.
Matt asked, congrats on the wins. Don't talk about poker, I guess. I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds we can sneak down from the nosebleed at the Astros game tonight? I would say not a chance with the Red Sox in town.
But I also saw Reed Ryan tweet out that there's still tickets available and starting at like $30. So
really?
There are seats available in that place still, which is surprising. Usually that, Boston, New York, they sell that thing out.
So are they? Do you think they'll still play Sweet Caroline for them like they used to in the old days?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would hope they're past that now.
Yeah.
You
don't want to make them feel too comfy?
No. Well, remember they did that when the Astros were horrible.
Yeah.
And it was just nothing but Red Sox fans. I wonder what the percentage will be.
go 60, 40 Strohs.
Okay. That seems about right. Although, I'm surprised that for the Red Sox, there's still tickets left.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you wish to text the show, we're out here at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And, man, this is a nice hotel. The more I'm in this place, the more I just fall in love with it. Nice casino. It's very clean. It's very modern. And I got to say, this Mandalay has gone way up my list.
Oh, it's beautiful casinos. Here, man.
Yeah, it's just it's really classy. If you're looking for a place to play, I highly recommend it. And I also want to thank Roc Nation and everybody for having us out here for this. So pretty darn good fight card they're putting on. And I'll be curious what other guests we get coming in here. The weigh-in is obviously this afternoon. So what usually happens is everybody disappears, and then everybody comes in to write, and the internet goes out.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way of the world with this. Speaking of the fight, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but Andre Ward basically said he trained to try to knock Kovalev out this time. Basically, he's taking a different approach. And I don't know if that's smart. I think the way he fought the second half of the fight is how I would fight if I were him. But basically, Virgil Hunter said, I don't even remember what I said. I haven't watched the fight with the sound on. Talk about the last fight. But I just know Andre, and I feel whatever I said was the right thing. There's another part of him that I can appeal to that doesn't even involve strategy. Just let him be himself so he can create on the fly. That's how well I know him. We started at 9 years old. And he's basically saying, I told him that we'll train for a knockout. Doesn't mean it's going to come, but we're going to train for it. It'll be quite evident in the fight. He goes, Andre's going to get hit because you got to get hit to win and get knockouts. That's why I'm liking that plus 350.
Yeah, I just don't know that Ward can knock out Kovalev. I don't know that he's slinging that kind of heat.
But if he tries to, I think he could get knocked out.
Maybe so.
Because if he takes a couple of big hits, obviously he took the big hit in the first fight, but a couple of those, he gets hit like that a couple times, I don't know if he can deal with it. 713-780-3776. 713, never been to Vegas. Who has the best and worst poker rooms? It's interesting, I think. We'll ask RJ about this at some point. But a lot of the poker rooms
are disappearing. He's a Bellagio guy.
Yeah, and Bellagio to me is the best. If you want to go play with the big dogs, that's the best place. But you know, I like the MGMs. I like Mandalay's a lot.
Yep.
But they're never – I mean, Mandalay's never really crowded. I got to say I'm a little worried about the future of poker rooms out here because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Luxor shut theirs down. And it kind of makes sense because they're right there with Mandalay and Excalibur.
But, and the same people own it.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to put there. But when you see that, a couple other rooms have started to shut down. We see a lot of these rooms that aren't very crowded. I haven't wandered around tonight where it'll be busy. But I haven't seen the 5, 6, 7 tables of cash like you expect to see.
No.
And this is during the World Series of Poker. So a lot of those guys will go play these small cash games to clean up. So I'm a little.
It means there's a lot of good players in town.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, they're on the other side of the strip, I guess. But just so far, I just haven't seen a bunch of people playing poker. And the only one, I don't know how many was in that tournament this morning.
22.
22. So yesterday they had 3 full tables for that morning tournament and 8 alternates or 10 alternates.
Yeah.
So that's weird that they would have fewer on a Friday than on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wonder if, I mean, I know the boom is gone, but I wonder if we're not getting to a point where it's going to go back to what it was, which is just some casinos have, you have your poker casinos like the Bellagio and Binion's and stuff like that. And then you have, most of them have like 1 or 2 tables and just play cash games.
Yeah.
With that. Which is what it was when I first started playing. And tournaments were pretty rare back then.
Yeah, I like to play tournaments, and that's a bummer. But that is the case. You can definitely see that trend. kind of sucks. But I guess it was bound to happen when you took away online poker.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, people lost the opportunity to learn how to play and want to come to Vegas to play. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, live from Mandalay Bay. And right now I have to tell you about Houston Can Academies. School's out now, but we're not that far from back to school, and they're going to need your help, and now is the time to do it. You know all about Houston Can Academies. Great place. It takes in kids that have dropped out of other schools, gives them a second opportunity, and so many of them go on to do great, great things. And you can help. And they need your help. And by your help, they just mean a donation. And by the donation, a vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe you've got a car that's been sitting out in your garage and you were going to fix it up. You didn't know what to do with it. And you thought, well, maybe I'll sell it. Maybe I'll, you know, get it to run again. Now it doesn't run. The battery's all dead. You got to do all this work to it to get it going again. Well, don't worry about it. Donate that. Get rid of that. Because here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow it free of charge. So they're going to clean it. Get it out of your garage. Get rid of that mess. They're going to process all the paperwork. So they're basically going to come tow it out of your garage and say, here, sign this. Boom, done. And your donation is tax deductible. And so many Blitzers have done this, and you need to be the next one. If whatever that vehicle is, car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor, four-wheeler, anything, doesn't have to be running, give them a call. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. If you tell them you heard about it on The Blitz. 713-225-4226 is the number, 713-225-4226. Or online at HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Mandalay Bay Arena in Las Vegas for the Andre Ward Sergey Kovalev 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, getting ready for Ward Kovalev 2. And Jim Lampley is going to be joining us soon. Do we have any idea when?
He's got one more interview to do, and then they're going to bring him over here. So okay, I'm guessing so next segment.
Probably next segment, yeah.
That is my guess.
All right. So what do you want to do this segment?
Well, Fred, we can talk. I guess we've already talked a little bit of Astros.
Yeah.
I don't know that we need to talk much more about that.
That's pretty much all the sports.
That's the only sports besides the fight, obviously.
I got some more Brock Osweiler stuff.
We could talk about that. We could talk about, did you hear about Matt Hughes?
No.
Matt Hughes is a former UFC champion, one of the all-time greats of the UFC. I don't know how this happens to people, but it happened to him. He got in a car accident with a train.
Wow.
And he's like, he's been airlifted, and he's in pretty serious condition, I guess. But that's a, you know. Twitter thoughts and prayers out to Matt Hughes.
Jeez.
I avoid trains.
Yeah. Well,
when I drive. That's like one of the things I look for. And I don't run into them.
When I moved, there's a lot of trains down there.
Yeah.
And I'm really careful about them. But, I mean, they're on their horns the whole
time.
You
know they're coming.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no reason to try to beat them. I don't care how much of a hurry you're in. You're not going to win. I know Metro had a sign on the Metro rail at one point that, like, one-ton train versus car train wins kind of thing. You're never going to win that one. The train is going to win every single time.
Yeah.
It's that much bigger than you. That's a shame.
Did you also see, maybe you don't want to talk about this, the Philando Castile verdict?
Yeah, I saw that.
Not guilty even of second-degree manslaughter. And basically they have they've now decided that cops are allowed to shoot people if they're nervous.
That's basically what it is, right? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't in that courtroom. I'm sure there were some things that we didn't see that came out, but it's surprising. It does seem like
I don't want to say it's across the board in every instance.
Yeah.
But it sure seems like every single one of these wind up the same way.
Well, it's a sad state, but, you know, and listen, I know being a cop isn't an easy job.
No, it's a very tough job, and those
and
guys.
I got a lot of respect for cops, but
with you,
that's
they also have a responsibility.
Yep.
More so than most people, because that's part of the job. And in those instances, man, I did ride-alongs when I was younger. I know how it looks when you pull up behind a car with tinted windows at 3 a.m. You have no idea what's in there.
Yeah.
And I get stuff like that and how scary that can be. But some of these things, it's just, it's baffling.
Hey, do you, on a lighter note, do you remember Roy Lamer? Maybe you will remember him more if I say bleep you, I'm Millwall.
Oh, Millwall guy.
Yeah, he's Millwall. A Swedish brewery has released a beer named F U, I'm Millwall.
I love it.
In tribute to Roy Lamer, who is apparently now a hero. He took on 3 men with knives single-handedly, screaming, bleep you, I'm Millwall, the entire time. And so now there's a new beer, a Swedish beer, called Bleep You, I'm Millwall.
That's pretty awesome.
It's an English bitter.
It's nice.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
That is appropriate. Speaking of bitter, I don't want to get too political, but what the hell are we doing with Cuba? Why is that a thing? We're just going to go back and rescind everything that Obama
did? I don't know. Well, that's the goal.
I've been trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt, but my goodness, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
I'm really getting concerned, but they don't care what I think. So, oh well.
They never will. And they don't care what I think either, by the way. Mm. I have another story, non-sportsy type story.
Okay.
And someone, hold on, before we get to that, Chase said, surprisingly, if not for the horn, you would never hear the train coming.
I don't know.
Well, okay, if you've got your music blared up. You know what else? Horn. You know what else you know? Like those, like when you see train tracks, trains go there.
Yeah.
And
usually you have an arm. Usually there's an arm that comes down. Now, there isn't back over in the back of Edo, but there's stop signs. They'll let you know. And in the main streets, there's arms.
It's very odd.
Yeah. But, all right.
What would you guess is, I'll actually give you the story. A man in Pennsylvania has sued a urologist who accidentally removed his healthy testicle during surgery.
Oh.
He'd been suffering chronic ball pain. He's 54 years old. He'd been suffering for about 15 years before he decided to do something about it.
Jeez.
He consulted with a urologist, and he agreed to slice out the bad ball. But while he was there, he removed the normal, healthy, good ball.
And left the bad one?
And left the painful one. So, obviously, the guy's pretty pissed. He's out his one good ball and still has the painful ball. Not a good combination. So, he filed a lawsuit. And according to Haynes' lawyer, the right nut is still a source of pain, but he has debilitating fear of going back under the knife. CBS reports the jury called the doctor recklessly indifferent to the struggle here. What would you guess the price is for one healthy ball?
I guess I would say, I'm trying to put myself in this position, having had ball surgery at one point.
What's your ball worth to you?
$500,000.
How about $870,000? Okay. Almost a full milli.
So his ball's bigger than mine.
Maybe. It was probably better than yours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, he's older than me, though.
That's true.
So I don't know that it's...
But I think his one good ball had sucked all the power from his bad ball, and it was like a super ball.
Maybe. Wow. So... Good for him. I hope he gets some money.
No, he did.
Oh, he got it?
He
okay.
got it.
Okay, I thought he was suing for that. No.
No, he did sue for that, and that's what he got.
All right. Good for him.
Yep.
I think that's a very good number. 713-780.
It's never good to lose a testicle. I think we can agree.
it's not especially a healthy one.
But if you do lose it, $870,000, not the worst payoff
no.
for it. Hey, Jong.
Yes, we're going to have to push the break back because we got Jim Lampley here.
And, how do you feel about that, Jong? You all right with that?
Of course, anything for Lampley.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Push the brake back.
That's what we're doing.
All right, good.
Thank I'll you. Ride it, and we'll do it live. All right. That's my Bill O'Reilly. Jim Lampley joins us on the program. Jim, this is a fight the first time. I don't know that we could have gotten a much better fight than what we got out of that first matchup between Ward Kovalev. And oftentimes in boxing, it seems like it's difficult to get rematches when they're appropriate. Oftentimes in boxing, we get rematches that aren't necessary, but they do them anyway. This one was totally warranted, and I was shocked that they were able to get it done seemingly so neatly.
Well, it's a perfect rematch because it's a grudge match. A very obvious grudge match, and it's a grudge match in which both fighters have a revenge motive. Where do you see that? Where both guys come in with a very obvious, definable revenge motive. Kovalev has a revenge motive because he got the short end of a score that he thinks is wrong, and so he wants to go in and prove that he was actually the real winner of the first fight. Ward has a revenge motive because the score was treated by fans and media as though it was incorrect. About 70% of people on the web, 70% of people in media, believe that Kovalev was the real winner of the first fight. So Ward wants to go in and prove all of those people wrong. And then add to that, they don't like each other. Add to that, the promoters don't like each other. Add to that, despite the fact that it did come together, as you said it did, the negotiation to produce this fight was torturous and filled with conflict, et cetera, et cetera. Kovalev walked out of the news conference yesterday. It's not something new between them. Ward has seen that kind of thing before. The bottom line is we probably should see another very close, hard-fought fight tomorrow night. Both guys will be trying to make tactical adjustments, but at the end of the day, they are who they are. And one of the reasons that it was so close the first time around is that one guy is an aggressive, knockout-seeking puncher, and the other guy is a brilliant, defensively-oriented tactician with a lot of sophisticated skills. So they match up in a way that, you know, can lead to a situation where both guys fight pretty well, both think they won, the score is controversial again, the third fight will be great.
Now, when you say the third fight will be great,
thrill in Manila.
Normally a third fight happens when they go 1-1. Is Kovalev your pick for this one?
I'm not going to say that. Although Philadelphia's Bernard Hopkins picked Kovalev on the fight game, I think that either guy can win. You know, if you really pressed me to the wall and said who has the advantage going into the second fight, I think you would have to say it's Ward the tactician, because he got a chance to look at Kovalev over the course of 12 rounds. He clearly got a little bit better as the fight went on in terms of understanding how to blunt what Kovalev did. Now he starts the second fight with all of that understanding at his disposal. Maybe he can make the first half of the second fight look the way the second half of the first fight looked. That would be Ward taking advantage of this situation. But Kovalev knows that he has to change something, so he's talking about, I ran out of gas starting in the fifth round of the first fight. I have to be in better condition. He went out and got a new strength and conditioning trainer who comes from the sport of biathlon. I like that, because if there's any sport in the world where they're on the absolute cutting edge of understanding scientific methods for boosting stamina, endurance, and understanding how to maintain your energy constantly through the competition, it's biathlon. They've been doing the scientific stuff, the blood tests, the biopsies, longer than anybody else. So what they're trying to teach Kovalev is how to relax enough during the competition to sustain his energy. They want to see from Kovalev the kind of recovery that we used to see from Evander Holyfield, when Holyfield would, you know, get tired, get knocked down, look as though he's in terrible shape, and then 30 seconds later, you're looking at a holy terror. He seemed to have that natural capacity for bringing himself back. That's what Kovalev wants to achieve as he approaches tomorrow night.
You know, you mentioned the sort of mental edge that you would think Andre Ward has because he...
Because he's seen him.
He's seen him, and he got better as the fight went on. Do you think there's a mental edge for Kovalev? Because everyone said you can't hit Ward like you hit everybody else, and right off the bat, he put Ward on his back.
Oh, it's 100% that's available to him. And he can think of the fight in very simple terms that way. This time, if I knock him down, I have to keep him down.
Right.
You know, either I knock him down hard enough that he stays down, or when he gets up, I put him down again.
Bounce.
That's the path for Kovalev to win the fight, and I guarantee you that's what's on his mind.
Jim, we're finally starting to see the fights that we've talked about probably the last time we saw you. We finally got to see Ward Kovalev. Now we're going to get to see Golovkin and Canelo. What does this mean for boxing when we actually start getting the super fights at the right time?
It would be a lot better if we didn't have to put up with the distraction of the Riggs King event. But but at the end of the day, yes, it's better for boxing that we're seeing some of the best fight the best. We still have political divisions that are very, very troublesome. I mean, it's obvious right here. The winner of this fight will not be fighting the lineal champion of the division, whom some regard as the hardest puncher in boxing, Adonis Stevenson, because they're on opposite sides of the political fence. Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, and Errol Spence, all of them high-quality welterweights, are not going to be fighting against Terrence Crawford if Terrence Crawford moves up to welterweight in what would be obvious classic matchups if we were in a different era when we didn't have these existing political divisions. So, you know, television decision makers, promoters, managers, everybody involved in this needs at some point to get together, create a League of Nations or a United Nations of some sort, and try to achieve a situation where the sport is not handcuffed by these political divisions that continue to prevent obvious, logical, big fights that would help boxing.
Is it possible that, I don't know, that maybe this is the biggest fight year in some time for boxing? Because
yes.
I think when you look at Canelo Chavez, which obviously did a lot of numbers.
A million pay-per-view buys, and that's all about Canelo.
Right. You see this fight, I think, is going to do well. The Golovkin-Canelo fight, I think, will probably beat both of those two fights.
If it's not too badly blunted by Riggs King.
Yeah, and then the whatever you think of the McGregor-Mayweather matchup is going to do incredible
numbers.
Which
I call Riggs King, yes.
Yeah. Do you think that there will be more pay-per-view boxing fights sold in 2017 than there has been in maybe the last decade even?
It's such a two-edged sword. Yes, the answer is probably yes, and I don't know if that's good, because the more fighters get romanced by the notion that they are well-known enough and high-quality enough that they can make that big bushel of money on pay-per-view that comes from taking the money directly from the consumer, the more often they want to do it. And most fighters are not pay-per-view attractions. I mean, let's face it. Golovkin is a global superstar with unbelievable cachet for boxing fans and as entertaining a fighting style as you could ever possibly want to see. And his first two pay-per-views tanked. They just didn't do all that well. There's a certain chemistry about it that must be mastered. And for most fighters, it's better not to be going to that pay-per-view well, but rather fighting for legitimate license fees on the networks that most support the sport. And that means Showtime and HBO. The lifeblood of the sport is Showtime and HBO, and that is where fighters should be focusing their attentions if they want to do the best they can do.
Is that why Terrence Crawford still isn't fighting on pay-per-view? Because
He had a pay-per-view fight against Victor Postol, and it tanked.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, Terrence Crawford is still not a big enough name, not enough of a crossover item to be in a pay-per-view fight. Now, if Errol Spence gets as good as I think he can be, and Terrence Crawford continues to be who he is, then somewhere down the road, that could be a spectacular fight in which one American fighter could prove he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. But it might not take place.
Well, I have to ask you about this, because I don't know about purist is the right word, but when I think of boxing passion and knowledge, your name's the first one that comes to my mind. What do you think of this whole McGregor-Mayweather thing?
Well, I think it's sad. You know, it's sad that and I tend to sort of blame social media for these phenomena. Social media is the death of civility and in a lot of ways the death of good sense. And it's social media which will lead to the spectacular pay-per-view outpouring for that particular quote fight unquote. I've always known that from a competitive standpoint, it was absurd. Last night, I learned some interesting new things I hadn't known before because CompuBox, which I trust, which I respect, which I believe is an extremely valuable analytical tool in telling you what will happen in face-to-face combat, CompuBox tracked 10 of Conor McGregor's MMA appearances. And what they discovered is mind-boggling when you think about who he's going into fight. Conor McGregor is not an attacker. He's a guy who throws 42 strikes per round in the 10 fights that CompuBox tracked. That's a very slow pace. Why does he fight at a relatively slow pace? He's a counterpuncher. What's the one kind of fighter that Floyd Mayweather has never had even the slightest difficulty with? Counterpunchers. The only guys who gave Floyd Mayweather trouble over an extended period of time were Marcos Maidana and Jose Luis Castillo. Both of them face-first brawlers who forced him into the ropes and threw 75 or 80 punches per round to try to land something. Conor McGregor is a stand-back-and-wait counterpuncher who tries to knock you out with one punch when you make a mistake attacking against him. You think Floyd Mayweather's going to attack? I mean, this is worse than I thought it was. And here's another great stat. In the 10 appearances that CompuBox tracked, Conor McGregor spent a total of 21 minutes on his feet. In 10 fights. Now he's going to try to stay on his feet for 36 minutes in one fight. You think that'll be a new experience for him? I mean, this is absurd. This, the notion that anybody would spend hard-earned pay-per-view money to see that, they're going to be shaking their heads afterward. By the way, they've already seen it. They saw Mayweather-Pacquiao. And the notion that McGregor can do any better than Pacquiao is absurd.
Well, I mean, Manny Pacquiao is probably 25%. Or more better
now,
a boxer.
Now, somewhere there's some MMA fans sitting there saying, oh, Jim Lampley doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, that's crazy. This guy is an outstanding MMA fighter. Well, guess what? He's not going to get to kick Floyd Mayweather. Floyd isn't going to go into a cage and be kicked. We're talking about handcraft here. And the notion that any MMA person can match the kind of handcraft skills that Floyd Mayweather has developed over 32 years of being in the ring doing it is insane.
There, I would venture that there are boxers that Conor McGregor, professional boxers that Conor McGregor could probably outbox. Floyd Mayweather is nowhere near that list of fighters that he can outbox. I think he could maybe do it
against a clumsy attacker, a face first brawler. Yeah, Conor McGregor would have a good chance because he does have real power on his counter shots. But again, being a counterpuncher requires that the other guy attacks you to set up what you do. Floyd Mayweather stands back and looks at counterpunchers and says, okay, what are you going to do?
one more before we let you go. On the Golovkin-Jacobs card, the undercard fight that had Chocolatito Gonzalez
against Srisaket Sorungvisai of Thailand. And now the rematch is coming.
That is I thought that was a real injustice. I was bummed out about it.
I agree. It was a terrible decision.
And I almost feel like things like that hurt boxing because Chocolatito, although I don't know if at his size, I don't know that he'd ever be like a superstar.
Right.
But he was one of the guys I was most excited to always watch him fight. And you could argue pound for pound best in the world. And
to the degree that anybody could ever become a superstar at that weight, he did. He achieved the highest profile probably of any fighter ever at that weight for the 2 years that he became a giant item in the sport. I mean, he's more famous than Ricardo Finito Lopez. And he's more famous, I think, even than Michael Carbajal. And now he gets a loss that's a terrible injustice because the fight was badly scored. He's getting up in age. He has moved up in weight to a weight level at which he's far more vulnerable than he used to be. It's not going well for Chocolatito, but he'll put up a whale of a fight and try to beat Sorungvisai in the rematch.
And he's not even on the pay-per-view that Golovkin Canelo's on. It's the week before, which I found interesting because he's almost always on the same card as Golovkin, and they couldn't even get that fight on that card, which I thought was disappointing too.
Another bad break for Chocolatito. Yeah.
All right, Jim, we appreciate what a great guy. The time. And it's always good to get your insight on all this. There's so much going on. It's a bright time for boxing, and it's good to have you on to talk about it, man. Enjoy the fight tomorrow night. I know we will, and we will talk to you, I'm guessing, in September.
My privilege, guys. I look forward to seeing you in September.
There we go.
All righty.
After Riggs King.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Saloon Door Brewery, which is a cool, cool place in Webster. And if you're on your way to Galveston for any reason and you want to stop on the way, get some great beer, you want to go up to a place where you can watch the Astros games, well, this is your place. Saloon Door is in Webster. Great people. They've got every kind of beer imaginable that you could possibly want. We're down there broadcasting all the time. Love the place. Wednesday night, they have trivia. Thursdays, they have brews and bites, which is a food pairings with catering by Missy Meals, which is fantastic. Just great people down there with Jeff and Josh and Jason and Austin, all the guys. And if you have not been down there, it's just a terrific atmosphere to watch sports, drink beer, hang out with friends. Webster's Brewery. They're at 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. That's less than a half mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off I-45 South. You can't miss it. And they're releasing a lot of new stuff. They had the Russian Imperial Stout that they released a couple months ago. The Tasty AF was the beer bracket for Best Beer in Houston winner. So all kinds of great stuff. For more information, go to saloondoorbrewing.com. Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. It's the tastiest draw in the West. Putting it down, and he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in a game. Good to.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.